The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the privilege and the honor to introduce a very special guest to the show, Joe Bernstein. He is often described as bold, powerful, passionate, and compassionate. As a coach, he works with highly motivated individuals to create anything from deeper intimate relationships to healthier lifestyles and mission focused on increases income. He knows through personal experience and his professional work that human beings are capable of extraordinary transformation. My kind of guy, my kind of topic, because this is what the show is all about. So I'm looking forward to diving into it and picking his brain and, of course, having him share his morning routine. And I know, Joe, you have over 15 years of coaching and training and development and empowering others. So I am so thrilled. Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you. I'm really grateful to be here. I love an opportunity to share. You know, I've been through a lot of change in my life, and one of the greatest gifts is just be able to, you know, bring the wisdom back to others, bring the experience back to others, the pain, the joy, the misery, the failure, the excitement, you know, just like sharing that with the world is really powerful. So thanks for having me, give me an opportunity to talk to your audience. And I love the topic because, you know, it's played out. Maybe it's even a little cliche at times. People are like, morning routine, morning routine, morning routine. It's because it literally did change my life. And I know it changes a lot of people's lives. So let's get into it.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's an honor. It's changing numerous people's lives in my life as well. And so go ahead and tell the audience a little bit more about your background. I mean, over 15 years of training and coaching others, right, for transformation, which is what we do. And so please go right in.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for asking. I'll share a little bit about my history, my background, why I do what I do. You know, I grew up with an extraordinarily beautiful, comfortable, privileged life in many ways, especially when it came to comfort. You know, my family was like middle class, suburban, American lifestyle. We never needed much. We went to Disney World twice, but where there was an abundance of care and love, and there was abundance of opportunity and abundance of comfort, there was many times a scarcity mindset going on, right? My parents loved with every ounce of their beings, but to them, love often includes a lot of fear, anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of worrying. Yeah. You know, I joke that my mom wouldn't let me go to the mall until I was old enough to work there. You know, I wasn't allowed to like go down the street to my best friend's house in a safe suburban neighborhood without her watching or without calling, you know. And my dad, you know, the guy just acted like there was never anything for him. He took himself from poverty, growing up, if nothing, in Brooklyn, you know, with really, really, I mean, he was very poor growing up, took himself into a six-figure government income with a stable lifestyle for our family, but acted like he had nothing. I mean, he used to eat the pulp from the hot, from the juice machine with hot sauce because he didn't want to waste money. And he used to like stuff my shoes when I was a teenager with socks so they could fit him because my feet were bigger than his, but he wanted to wear my hand-me-downs, you know?
Or toilet paper to make sure it fits snug.
Right. Yeah, you know, yes, exactly. But he probably wouldn't use toilet paper. He'd probably use something, you know, renewable, like an old t-shirt. And so basically, though, what did happen was my parents, with all their scarcity, they fought a lot. We had a very emotionally volatile environment growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, my family didn't soothe with gambling or alcohol or drugs or sex addiction. We soothed with the kind of the American way, if you will. We ate a bunch of processed food and went out to eat a lot, and we watched TV, and we were just kind of lazy. So by the time I was 5 years old, I was already what doctors would call obese. So I spent my childhood twice the size of other kids and with some what people would call learning disabilities back in the day. I now know I'm just a different learner. So essentially, from a very young age, I thought that I was fat and slow and stupid. But at the same time, I got all this praise from teachers, and my mom was very, you know, joyful in saying I could do anything. So I had this real dueling consciousness throughout my whole life. And by the time I was a teenager, I was well over 300 pounds. I believed that the messages of the world that I would never be attractive or lovable to women as a hetero cis dude, I just believed it, right? And I didn't try. You know, everything was almost like, if the world is so unsafe, why should I risk going after anything? Why don't I just do what's comfortable?
Yeah. The mind loves that. The brain loves that. It wants to keep you comfortable.
Right. So I was a guy who didn't apply himself at school, barely got into college and kind of like screwed around and didn't graduate. And I found myself in this belief system that like, I shouldn't have love and relationship. I shouldn't have a family because I would just screw it up anyway. I'd be like my parents and fight a lot. And I'm just naturally going to gain weight all my life and be unattractive and unhealthy. So I had some pretty bleak conscious beliefs when I was young. You know, it all culminated with me being about 340 pounds when I was 25. I had stumbled my way into a retail career that I really loved and I was succeeding at with a company I enjoyed. I love the mission. I love the values. But I spent 6 years almost of my 20s alone, not dating. So I started dating eventually. I lost like 40 pounds one summer, started dating, was like, yeah, I got this. And met somebody, fell in love, and very quickly committed. And both of us, like our parents, were coming from scarcity. So we created a relationship that had a good amount of toxicity. Long story short, you know, we imploded after several years of being together. So now I'm 31 and I'm in a career for 11 years that I was good at, but I already started to lose passion for. I'm in a body that's still really well overweight, around 300 pounds at the time. I'd just gone through some big personal health crises with having a kidney stone surgery. And my wife at the time came in one day and was basically like, look, I'm 1 foot out the door. So here I am, 31 years old, the life that was better than I thought I could ever have, crumbling, it's falling apart underneath me. And so it was a huge, humongous, wild wake-up call. We went to couples therapy, which kind of forced that relationship into an end. But I started learning about myself and I started learning about my behaviors within relationship and around my body. She assigned us some books to read. So I became all of a sudden insatiable to learn about the human condition, how we change our health, our nervous systems, love, sensuality, sexuality, attraction, how we actually shift our social way of being. And so even though now my ex, she basically said after a few months, I'm done. That bottom point of my life where I was staring down the barrel of I could keep going down the road of these same behaviors, habits, and beliefs that had got me here, or I could commit myself to creating change. It became really clear to me. I'm 31, you know, I got a good job. I got a good, you know, a good career. I have a good condo. Things are cool in my life other than this failure.
Yeah.
So I just took and got crazy motivated to learn how to change. You know, less than a year later, I'd lost 100 pounds. I was dating with confidence, women that I thought all my life were way out of my league. My social life had changed. And I had this wake up that one day I decided I can change all of this stuff, my body, my mind, my relationships. Then I've got to be here to help other people grow and change. So, you know, from that point on, I just set a path. It took me about 2 years to leave my retail career, but I made a jump into personal growth as a coach. And that's been about 6 years now. I love what I do every day. I get to do what I love. Now, the cool thing was I got to pivot, you know, because my retail leadership career was really all about coaching and development and motivation and training. I was the guy who was on the sales floor talking about love over fear and stuff like that, you know, before I even broke into the personal growth world. So that's a little bit of the story without going into all the nooks and crannies. You know, I fell into a life better than I thought I'd have, and then it all fell apart. So it was a big wake-up call to decide that I could change things. And ever since that day, I live in a way that I call lit up, just completely lit up. It's about moving towards passion and desire and doing what you want and being a creator rather than a consumer, just something I'd love to talk about a little bit. We talk about morning routine, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So your transition was pretty smooth because you were doing training and development already.
Right.
yeah, that role of development within the organization. Your story is phenomenal. And I love that you tap into the limiting beliefs, right?
Yeah.
We are riddled with negative beliefs that I am not lovable. I am not enough. I don't deserve it. And it really does, I believe, stem from our childhood, because our identities are formed, you know, between the infancy to like 5-7 years old. You know, because of what we hear, because of the surroundings, our families, you know, all that is ingrained in us. And somehow it that belief stays and kind of directs our direction in life, directs our path. So tell us a little bit about how can one start dissolving those limiting beliefs, you know, because you did such a great job at it yourself.
Right. You know, I think that that's an interesting question. It's a matter of becoming conscious to those beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of putting them in front of you and learning to believe that there's another way. Now, here's what I think, and this is one thing I want to share, which is, in fact, a lot of the time, it's hard for us to get really conscious to what we believe deep down inside because we're flooded with information, beliefs, values that aren't really our own. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so this stems, you know, like you said, from childhood. It stems from what our teachers taught us and our coaches taught us and our best friend and all these things, all these messages that we picked up growing up. But it's now compounded by, and this is where I get a little radical, like by a world that wants us to be the average consumer.
Right.
Like straight up, it gets compounded by that daily. And so what I often ask people is to look at how you can transform your mind. You know, one of the things you asked me to look at is like, how can we give readers or listeners something to latch onto about how we can transform through the renewal of the mind?
Yeah.
So I talk a lot with my clients and even in my private Facebook group, Drop the Armor Dojo, about moving from consumer to creator. So I want to talk about one thing we can do with our mind, which is moving from unconscious consumption of what goes into our mind to what I call the courageous creator. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that just like what we put in our bodies, what we put in our mind has a deep, deep impact on who we become and what choices we make and how we show up and our relationships and our careers and our health and everything.
Yeah.
So I often do with people an energy audit, but when they're really stuck listening to, reading, spending time with people who deliver messages that are negative or that are limiting, it's not going to work. I mean, anything I teach them or give them to work on, if they're constantly being bombarded the other 23 hours of the day with negative messaging, it doesn't work. So we do instead like a mindset audit, which is what we're putting in and out of the mind. So literally people could do this, like take a sheet of paper, create two columns. On the left side, it's fuels a healthy mind. On the right side, it's drains a healthy mind. And so then you're going to make three rows across. One is what I watch, what I listen to, what I read, and then a really important fourth row, who I connect with. Mm-hmm. And so start filling it out. Like, what do I listen to? What do I watch? What do I read? Who do I spend my time with? And put them in the columns. Fuels a healthy mind, drains a healthy mind. And here's the thing, right? You might see in front of you a massive list of things that you could think, well, I got to change all that. But the number one tip I give is like, don't even decide that you got to change all that. When you start putting in front of you all the things in your life that you want to change, or all the things you could change, or all the stuff that experts, gurus, coaches, authors teach you, you're just going to get overwhelmed and do nothing. And then a year later, you're going to be wondering why you haven't changed. So really, don't even choose to change any of it. Just decide that it's time to let that awareness start to shift you. And maybe if you want, focus on like one thing from that list of what fuels a healthy mind and decide to spend more time on it. Over time, you can begin to omit the things that drain your mind and that add more things that fuel you and start to put up boundaries once you have a better mindset with people in your life that are bringing you down or that are negative. Because essentially, you know, if we're spending our time, like I'm going to talk about men for a second because I'm mostly a men's coach. If we're just watching sports and action movies that promote violence all the time and that promote competition amongst men, and there's nothing wrong with competition, but that if we're really focused on a hierarchical way of seeing each other and a tough guy version of masculinity, mm-hmm. and if we're constantly watching the news, whether it's CNN or Fox News or whoever you get into, I don't care if there's some other therapist, we're going to be flooded with messages around negativity and fear and about being a consumer of the norm. And if you want to change your life, you have to become a creator of the abnormal, not a consumer of the normal, you know? So I could just rant forever. I'm going to stop and see what you got.
Yeah, I love that method because you are saying garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah,
whatever, totally. You got to be careful what you feed your mind and all your senses for that matter, right? Because you're talking about what you watch, listen to, and what you eat, like who is around you, who's your friends. You know, you're the average of the five people you hang out with. You're going to make $2,000 or $3,000 above their salary or below their salary. That stuff is really true. That's what Jim Rohn says. And the renewal of the mind really starts tapping into what are you feeding your mind? Who are you reading? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Is it Tony Robbins? Is it the gossip? Is it TV? Right. The news, right? If it's the news, it's instilling fear, as you said. And so I love that notion that you brought it up. It really starts because whatever you put, you focus on, it's going to grow. So if it's negativity, if it's competition, as you said, if it's rage, it's just going to keep growing because that's where your energy is going. That's what you're focusing on. And so it's really fascinating. And what I want to ask you is, given your background, how do you help people when at work and then have time, especially men? Because I know you're a men coach, right? Because it's hard to not be that masculine, macho male figure in the home. So how do you give that balance to the men you coach with to be winning at work, but actually be winning at home too when it comes to loving and being caring?
Oof, well, we got to do a little reconditioning. That's a question. But we got to do a little reconditioning around identity. You already talked about this. So we have been conditioned most of our lives and trained from a very young age to be the smartest and the strongest and the fastest and to compete constantly with each other in this hierarchical way of being. We've been often taught to, you know, have the right answer or don't answer. And so we've been taught all of these things that don't actually help us create really beautiful relationships.
Yeah.
Unless the relationships are thriving on like one-upsmanship and competition, where sometimes that can be cool. Like, you know, I got friends where we're kind of like always going back and forth about like, what is the new thing we're trying? What is the thing we learned? It can be healthy to fuel yourself with competition. But typically, competition has a lot to do with putting yourself above or below someone. And competition has a lot to do with winning and domination, right? Mm-hmm. So love is about the opposite of domination. Love and connection is about liberation. It's about freeing parts of ourselves. It's about allowing for energy to flow with each other. Mm-hmm. It's about seeing each other with mutuality and vulnerability, respect. You know, you talked about sensuality. It's about like embodying uses of the erotic, not just sexual, but like our sensual energy to be connected with people. And so a lot of what we're taught in school, to do well in school and to do well in work, we just have to recognize that way of being, it's not going to get us what we want long term at home and in our relationships. That's first thing, it's just reality check. And the next thing I work on with people is letting go of emotional intelligence. Now, I know that might sound like counterintuitive, but leave that at the office.
As a psychologist, you're scaring me.
Right. Well, here's what I'm going to get into is we don't need emotional intelligence at home. We need emotional fluency. Emotional intelligence, in my opinion, has been taught by HR departments and corporate leadership trainers. And a lot of it is really about how to move from point A to point B when it comes to using our emotions to help people be more productive. So it's a slight reframe. I actually don't want people to let go of emotional intelligence, but I want you to move into what I consider fluency. You know, emotional intelligence is often trying to understand emotions from this, intellectual way. It's trying to figure out how do I put person A into box B because of what they might be feeling, rather than being truly present with them, rather than being truly connecting with them. And a lot of the time, you know, there is that element of emotional intelligence, which is about, you know, self-management, but really at the end of the day, again, it's about what can I gain and how can I move people forward and what's the type of connection that's going to make me a good leader. And again, at home, we have to move into more fluency. You know, how effectively do you communicate your feelings without blaming others? Do you know what each of your feelings means, how it shows up, what triggers it, and then what you do about it? Are you able to actually listen with compassion and with empathy without needing to be the corporate warrior who figures out the path forward, with just being present with your partner, your kids, your friend, your parents, et cetera? And so it's really about taking a similar, you know, the foundation of emotional intelligence, moving it more into how we communicate with ourselves and how we communicate with others on a much more nuanced way. And so I do that a lot with, it takes practice. I mean, it takes literal practice. It takes going over each emotion and looking at the person and how they respond to it and what they're typically were taught by their, you know, their elders, the generation that came before them, and just breaking it down. And I'll often have men focus on one particular emotion for the week and just like journal or do voice memos about when the emotion comes up and what do they do and how do they feel when other people start to, like when your wife starts talking about like, I was really depressed today. What do you do? What are your natural responses? So you could start moving into more of that fluency, as I call it. So that's one of the major things, you know, and frankly, it's this too. You just got to shift some of your priorities.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I tell people, like, don't wait to the last quarter of your life to focus on connection and love and family. Allow that to be something that really moves through you earlier. Like, there's no surprise. A lot of my clients are guys in their late 20s, early 30s. They've already succeeded well with some sort of like IT job or finance job or engineering job. And they realize, okay, great. So the 120, 130, 150K and a nice car and a pretty girlfriend, like, that's not doing it for me. I'm not connected. So don't be the kind of person that's figuring this out in your late 40s and your 50s, or God forbid, when you retire and you don't know how to play on the floor with your grandkids. So it is literally about shifting priorities and knowing that, you know what, you learned how to make money. It's time to learn how to connect and create love and create real relationship. And, you know, if I can go so far as to say to stop the patterns of intergenerational wounding, let's do it now. You know, let's take some responsibility for that and do that now.
Break the shackles. Break the curse, right? So it doesn't repeat itself, because how else are we going to change the next generation if we're just repeating what we learned? And what we learned may not have suited us best. You know, it's limiting, as you say. And I really like the piece that you said about being competitive. It should just be with yourself, right? Are you better than you were yesterday? Are you a better man than you were yesterday? Are you a better woman than you were yesterday? And that's the true competition, because you're absolutely right. You can't, when competing, you're only looking, you're better than somebody or you're worse than somebody. And that really does bring on that lack of confidence, and it lowers your self-esteem to actually take massive action.
Absolutely.
And so instead I say, you know, I'm competitive, but it's for myself. Well, can I do it more? Can I work an extra hour? Can I do a extra push-up at the gym? You know, whatever it may be, but you really focusing on your progress.
Yeah, give yourself the win with yourself, you know?
Yeah, get the win with yourself, and then you can transcend that into the home. And you said something very valuable with the working, having the life of intensity at work and prioritizing at work and then neglecting the home. It's a big no-no for even a lot of the entrepreneurs I work with. And it, you really got to bring that same intensity at home where you are prioritizing the home life, the home relationship, in the, with that same love and passion that you have at work, right? With that same intensity and drive, it's gotta, you can't shut it down when you come home at the end of the day. It does not work very well. So I'm curious, Joe, to get into your morning routine. So please share with us, how do you get up, dress up, and show up in your life to work with the amazing men that you do?
Thank you so much. You know, so for me, I take conditioning my body and my consciousness and my mind and my heart very seriously. I can wake up with all the old beliefs. I can wake up feeling negative, feeling triggered, having anxiety, wondering how I'll be around food today. Because, you know, I am a guy who lost over 150 pounds, let it go years ago, and I've been good. But challenges with food never necessarily go away. They're always present. So I know that for me, it's important to take care of myself, to be present for myself, but also then to be present for like my partner, my friends, my family, and of course, my clients. So I just commit to myself at least 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. If I'm working, I'm getting up 5:30 a.m. First thing I do is I sit down to do meditation. I use the beautiful app Insight Timer because it's great. You can customize your own bells. Yeah. So I'll do a standard Vipassana meditation for a 15-minute increment. Then I'll set a bell for 5 minutes of affirmations. So I'm working on whatever affirmation is really leading me right now. And that's a great way to look at the beliefs. If you have a negative belief, you identify it, install the positive belief in an affirmation.
That's right.
I have a 2-minute timer to do a gratitude prayer at the end as well. So I bake that all into the first thing I do. Then I go exercise, and it's a combination. I usually spend about an hour. Some days if I have early clients, maybe it's only 30 minutes, but it's a combination of some strength training with like kettlebells or body weight workouts, some yoga. I'll do some running, some jogging every now and again. When I have extra time, usually like a Friday morning, I'll do maybe like a long bike ride outside. My partner, Natalie, is a Pilates instructor. So yesterday morning, I got a private Pilates class, you know?
Nice.
So I'm big on mixing it up. I think that's a big thing about exercise that people they want to get locked into a routine. And a lot of dudes just want to lift or just run or whatever. And I really believe that to create long-term year after year sustainability, we need variety. And so I have a lot of variety, even day in and day out.
You just want the mental piece of it too. The mind needs, you need to change it up. Yeah. And the body hits a plateau. So you don't want to keep doing the same thing either, same type of exercise either. So you got to change it up to build different muscle mass.
And I love using physical exercise and physical challenge as a metaphor for how we do life. You know, like what it takes for me to do that Warrior 3 in yoga is a lot different than what it takes for me to use the same muscles to do kettlebell squats. And it has an impact on how we do life. Balance and flexibility, strength, speed, endurance, you know, all these things matter. So these are great metaphors. Now, additionally, I'm always going to be listening to a book on tape or a podcast, like book on tape. I sound like it's 1992, you know, an audio book, like Audible or a podcast that is either about business or it's about love or it's about psychology.
Yeah.
You know, I'm listening to Body Keeps the Score again right now. He has a great one. And then while I'm either eating, usually eat breakfast, which is important because I think nourishment is undervalued, taking time to nourish with mindful eating. So I'll eat a healthy breakfast that I put together myself. I take the time to do it. And then usually as I'm getting dressed, I shower. I listen to music, and specifically from like a more upbeat, good vibes kind of energy playlist I've created. Because that is the way I like to start in the morning. I like to start the morning feeling like anything's possible. I like to start being in, you know, excitement and gratitude and joy and fun, get all the endorphins rolling. So that's basically my morning routine. Always have to have some mindfulness, some movement, some mastery, which is like some learning element, and then nourishment. Nourishment's really, really important. How do we nourish our bodies in the morning, not just our minds, you know, bring in some good quality food and pleasure.
It's pretty robust. I do like the get your body at a peak state, get your mind at a peak state. And so that movement is crucial in the morning, and you going above and beyond and actually put the music to actually rev your body up, get your energy flowing, get your blood pumping. Sometimes we just need to move, you know, because emotion is energy in motion. Right.
Yep.
It really needs to flow. We really got to let it go through it. Let it be fluid. Sometimes it's just stagnant. It's just clogged. It's not fluid. And so we gotta keep moving. Your morning routine is super robust. I mean, you do all the things that I have an app that I put, you know, 9 actionable items that you can do in the morning, and you covered, you have all of them on there because that's what's been coming up. Since I get on the show, is these things come up. You have to meditate, you have to do the gratitude prayer or the journal, you have to read 10 to 15 to 30 minutes a day. That fuels the mind. Again, we were talking earlier, it comes back full circle. Because we're talking about feeding the mind. How do you transform the mind? How do you renew the mind? Is by feeding it, is by making sure you do the meditation to calm the thoughts down, to actually get present and be here now. And that essentially what your morning routine does, that primes you for your day every day.
Completely. And I know it could sound robust, which can feel overwhelming to people who are just getting started or trying to change a routine. But I know that when I work with clients, I'm always real honest that we get the ball rolling slowly to create momentum. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't try and jump in doing all this all the time. Or I often start people with one new habit that they start for a morning routine, and we integrate it for a few weeks. Or we do like mini versions. Okay, 5 minutes of meditation, 5 minutes of workout, 5 minutes of reading. And just let that be the case rather than trying to accomplish, look, I get to work for myself. Conditioning my mind and my heart and my consciousness is what is part of my living. So I set aside 3 hours for a morning routine. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't do that. So let's come up with what's real. Let's be creative about how to get you going and what's going to fit in your life rather than just modeling it based on what you hear from me and Tim Ferriss and all the people you interview and he interview, you know, et cetera. Let's make it real for you is what I always tell people. Doesn't have to be just what everyone else says they're doing.
That's a good segue. So give us some benefits. Like what if you didn't do your morning routine? What's a day like?
Well, that's a good question because frankly, I started building my morning routine off the belief that like, I just suck at life without it. I know that sounds terrible.
But
that's what motivated me originally. And so I'm actually working on practicing loving myself when I don't do the routine, when my mind is a little slower, when I'm not quite as conscious and loving. Now, that's why, again, Monday through Friday, if I'm working, if I'm creating content, if I'm seeing clients, you better believe I've done the work. But a lot of the time now on the weekend, I'm letting myself either not have a morning routine, or I'm letting my morning routine be a slow, delicious brunch with my partner, where at least we do gratitude, but it's not this intense thing. So here's what I notice. If I go on like vacation or something, and I go even like 3 or 4 days without doing most of the routine, my mind is slower. Like I literally just cannot think as quickly. My words don't come out as easily. My memory is not as sharp. I'm more prone to think negatively. Like anxiety starts to creep up, and all of the I can'ts that I grew up with start to show back up very quickly. Mm-hmm. I also notice I'm not very present. If I'm in a conversation with someone, even if I'm telling myself I really want to listen and be present, I'm thinking about all kinds of other crap. There's a duck behind them walking by. I'm noticed focusing on that rather than looking them in the eye. So I'm missing my connection to other people. And then the other thing that really changes is for me, you know, I'm not a biologist, but there is some science behind food and body and our hormones. And I spent 30 years what the doctors would call obese. I did. And so what I notice is that when I'm not doing this morning routine, cravings for sweet, cravings for snack in the middle of the day, boredom for eating shows up much more easily for me when I'm not doing these things. So really for me, it is very much about allowing the benefits are I can focus. The benefits are I stay much more calm and present. I'm less triggered or less anxious. The benefits are that I actually have an easier time eating in the way that makes me feel good and fuels my body and not relying on other things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to likely to have less caffeine, so I'm less jittery. A big thing too is digestion, right? Like digestion matters actually a lot to me, because if my digestion is all messed up, I'm distracted that whole day.
Yeah.
So whenever I do my routine, that's why I don't even like running, but that's why I at least do a jog every 2-3 days. It's because it really actually improves my overall digestion and how I feel and how, you know, my metabolism's working. So there's just so much. But the bottom line is this, though. I know this. I'm the kind of guy that if I say I'm going to do all this at 5 p.m., it's never going to happen. So for me to do the things that light me up, that help me stay in the physical body I want, that help me stay in the mindset I want, that's help me stay present, that I learn new things, that allow me to grow, that affirm who I am and who I want to be, they've got to happen before my work day. That's the number one thing. It's like the benefit is the stuff I say I want to do to live the life I want to live, it gets done. Where it wouldn't get done if I was the kind of guy who's like, yeah, we'll just do it after work. Oh, I'll just do it on my lunch hour. No, I just know better, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely wise to do it early on. It's bulletproof. As I'm listening to you talk, it's like you put an armor around you. I just saw Wonder Woman this weekend, and she had that gold armor around her when people were attacking her. I see the morning routine as that, because then it prepares you for whatever the day's going to throw at you.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing is my business is called Drop the Armor, because it's actually it's literally about dropping the old armor that you've taken into life that has allowed you to get to where you are, but has kept you from going where you're going. And it's all there for this false level of layer of protection. So we put on a new Wonder, what was it? You say Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Like golden, shining, you know, light ball of armor, which is different. It protects us from negativity and attack, but it's not the armor that has taken us into our life that's keeping us from being honest with who we are and connecting with what really matters and our values and loving with an open heart. That armor, drop it. Let's create the Wonder Woman armor, you know?
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I've taken your time. I don't know what else to add. That was so phenomenal. Well put. I love the last piece of it, the metaphor, dropping that old negative armor and putting a new one on that. Instill growth, authenticity, getting rid of those limiting beliefs so you can love again, not just love yourself, but love others and find purpose, right? Find your life's purpose, your how you can add value. It's a different armor that is put on. It's an armor of honor. I can say. Joe, please tell us, how can we connect with you?
Cool. Well, you can go to my website, joebernsteincoaching.com, if you want to check it out. But really, I'll be honest, I haven't updated it in 2 years. It's there if you want to reach out to me. There's a link and stuff. But the way to really hang out, to learn from me, but also to connect with a community of people that are really working their butts off to create a lit up life and to be the creator of their life and to choose love over fear and courage over comfort daily, join me on Facebook and just go to Facebook and search Drop the Armor. It'll show up, but you could search Drop the Armor Dojo. That's the name of the Facebook group. were in there practicing. In fact, right now, there's currently this week a thread where a guy said he's inconsistent with his yoga routine. So I posted, hey, can I post this up? People are all responding and sharing how they got consistent. And a client of mine, he's quitting smoking. And so he decided I'm finally going to quit. And so I posted last night, you know, who's quit smoking? Now he's got 25 advisors giving him tips on what worked for them in real life, not just a book, because he has books and all that. So that's the place to join. Drop the Armor Dojo on Facebook. Come find me there. I shoot out educational videos a couple times a week. We're all serving each other, supporting each other. It's a great place to chill.
Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This has been Joe Bernstein, and he is fantastic. The Facebook link I will put in the show notes below so they can connect with you, Joe. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time this morning.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
percent of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
Nah, all treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with the 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.